We have Masechet Gittin, so the Masechet begins from the beginning. The Masechet starts from the end of the topic, as we've seen many times. The Masechet begins not with the din d'oraisa of giving get, and the din d'oraisa of sifat get. Masechet begins with din d'rabbanan, takan d'rabbanan, that may be get from the din of hayam. He has to say before an nesta, before an nesta. I bring get from outside of Eretz Yisrael. I bring it from far away. I bring it to Eretz Yisrael from overseas. That not enough that the shaliach, the husband lives in China. The woman is there to draw. The shaliach brings the get from China to draw. The minat Torah, the husband wrote the get properly, and now the shaliach brings the get. He's the shaliach of the husband. Shuv shalom kamoso, gives it to the wife, probably in front of Eden. Done deal, she's divorced. That's the din d'oraisa. The rabbanan, Mishnah says, you bring it from China to draw. It's not enough just to give it solidly. You have to say, v'fana nechta, v'fana nechta. Shliach has to say that he was there when it was written in time. And we spent a lot of time at the beginning of the year, we were spending a lot of time, talking about why that's so. Is it because it's concerned that it was written properly, it was written Shmuel Lishma, or is it a concern that the whole thing is a fake, a forge? And the husband never wrote this again at all. The Shliach just wants to marry the girl, and he made up a guest and pretended to have come from China. But whatever it is, it didn't drop out of the Mishnah has that you have to say before the Nechtav, before the Nechtav. So we are focusing in first, the beginning of the year, really on the that basic thing. That didn't drop out of the Nechtav. Where? How does it work? When does it work? What cases? And so on and so forth. What does it tell you about Shtar in general? But the Mishnah goes on to when we originally learned the Mishnah back in Elul. Feel nostalgic? So we said, you know, we're going to start with look at the end of the Mishnah, then Eretz Yisrael, look at the very beginning of the Mishnah. We left out the middle. Now we're moving more towards the middle of the Mishnah, is Machlokes HaTanah, and exactly where, when we say Eretz Yisrael, we say Medina Sayyam, bring it from where to where? What are the boundaries? So one of the, from outside to inside, so what's outside and what's inside? So one of the several Tanaim, one of the several sheets in the Mishnah, is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. He was in the mission of days of an hour. He starts getting very detailed, somewhat detailed boundaries. He's actually talking about boundaries. The other time I was saying, has to be, the only time there's no difference from in Eretz Yisrael or from near Eretz Yisrael, or if he was actually giving boundaries. Here on days of an hour, he just says, the Rechem of Israel, the Rechem of Israel. From Rechem to the east is out of Eretz Yisrael for purposes of getting. So if you bring a guest from the town of Rechem to Yerushalayim, to Zichron Yaakov, or you're somewhere east of Rechem, even further away from Eretz Yisrael, so that certainly requires, that maybe be in Dina Tayyam, you got to get the Fanefta of the Fanefta. In the Mishnah, the middle of the Mishnah, Bein Zemel. So we have Yudah gives you the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael is marked by the town of Rechem. The Ashkelon, the Dar of the Ashkelon Kedav, the southern border of Eretz Yisrael is marked by Ashkelon. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. So Ashkelon is Kedav. Ashkelon is like the south. I mean, if I bring a guest from Ashkelon to Ashdod, I have to say it's my different Ashkelon. But Ashkelon is like the Ashkelon of the Chutzlar. I brought from Chutzlar to Eretz Yisrael. Sure. And finally, the Akkel, the south of the Akkel Kedav. Rabbi Yehuda says that the north, Akko marks the northern tip of Eretz Yisrael for these purposes. And Akko itself is also outside. Akko is also chutzlaret for these purposes. There may be a disagreement with that one point. You may or may not. Akko can't Eretz Yisrael again. It seems like he agrees that Akko is a good demarcation. That's a good cinnamon for where the line is. But he says Akko is in. Akko is on the border, in. If he uses Akko is on the border, and it's out. Okay. Very nice. So the first question is, we'll see the beginning of the Gemara, and then we'll get further in. So the first question the Gemara deals with is the impression you get from Mishnah. The Amoraim in Bavel didn't live there at all. They didn't have that. So they're trying to figure out, trying to reconstruct what Eretz Yisrael must look like from whatever data that they had. So they did know basic things, like what are the Zakos? That's what it's like. I don't want to read. I don't see it to read. Take it away. What is it?
And the name of the Akum from the Akum came off. But the name of the Akum is from the Akum. And 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 the Akum is from the Akum. עד שתהיה לך שהיא חייבת, בתמור הוא מערך הדרך נאור, משמע את האמן, חייבת במערכת השביעת, עד שתהיה לך שהיא פתורה. עד היכן, עד...
Good. So what do we know? Just to map this out, I'm sure everyone's mapping, but to make sure we're all on the same page. So the Yisrael is going from the opposite Ziv, and to his right is the east, and to his left is the west. Everyone knows, everyone should know. If east is to your right, and west is to your left, then you're facing north, right? Right? So obviously this guy is walking north. So he's walking, I have a little more room here. So he's walking from Akko to Ziv. He's walking north. Then he has, the Zilma doesn't change the Girsa, but let's deal with the Girsa as we have it. Zilma Zon's Girsa introduces a craft and complication. So the Brisa says, the guy is walking from Akko to Ziv. So over here, to his right, which is the east, is Hitzbar. And to his left, which is the west, is Eretz Yisrael. So what does that tell you? Where is Akko? Or which side of it, which border of Eretz Yisrael is Akko?
The east.
That is in the east. That must be that Eretz Yisrael looks something like this. Back to the bottom of the shape. But apparently, Akko lies along the middle of the eastern border. So that's why to the east is Hitzbar, and to the west is Eretz Yisrael. So, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So, but the Mishnah says Akko is on the northern end. So we have a steer and a seer. You can't have the Tanoim. It makes sense to have a machlokas and a seer if it's fast, they're not easy to figure out. But here, so the Amoraim involved, they wasn't easy to figure out. But the Tanoim, they lived there in Sichol. They knew where Akko was. Either it's here or it's there. So how could it be our? Where is Akko? Is it on the northern tip? Or is it on the eastern end? The Gemara says, well, and the Bryce is speaking with reference to Meister and Schmidt, right? Is there, how many Nafkaminas in the fact that this is Chutzlar, this is Eretz Yisrael, some of the Sahara, and the Mitzvahs are. We'll get back to that. Okay, but first let's figure out the date. So on Hekel like Ziv, that's all that's up to Ziv. No, the Ziv is the northeastern corner. And Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, over Rabbi Shmuel is at Lublavo. It's still the town of Lublavo. That's how far this border is, Israel extends. So that's Sirius. I'm Rabbi Yisua Nafka, the Yisua Nafka. It is a strip. What do you mean it's a strip? So it's saying basically, the border there is Israel, meaning Akko is along the north. The border of Israel basically extends like this. Except that this is not, we're not going to, not attempting to approximate the shape of Eretz Yisrael. I'm following the holy Masorah of the illustrators of the Avon Shah, who drew boxy pictures. So basically, Akko is longer than northern end. Because it's a little piece. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. So Akko lies over here. Akko is a port city. So Akko basically is along the northern end. But north of Akko is a little piece of land, a little bump. So that little bump, if you walk from Akko to Ziv, here is the flowers and here is Eretz Yisrael. So where Behuda says the mission is correct, that Akko is a good marker for the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, because the northern border of Eretz Yisrael basically extends along the latitude of Akko, but there is a little hump over here. So that little extra hump, that's what the Brisa is talking about. Brisa is saying that little extra hump goes until this, or according to Rabbi Yishmael, it goes until Lublavo.
Then the Gemara says one second, can that be the Gemara? Then some of the Gemara is a Kashan Abaya. Abaya gives a tenet that the Brisa doesn't really mean that it's this is core Eretz Yisrael, this is a little extra sewer, a little extra strip. Can that be when Yarev Tana Simana Hafi, when the Tana gives such a simon? What do you mean such a simon? The Rashi says, the Yarev Tana Simana Asmui Masma, Michashiva Chazaratua, says Rashi, is one that strip so significant, La Asnuke Tana Simana Allah, that the Tana will give a simon about that one little strip. It goes to such pains
to explain the exact boundaries. There's one little piece and teeny piece of that straw. Is that so significant? It's one little piece? Yeah, it is. That's for sure. You want to talk about it? And Sukkim also give Siman about a Rasul. It says, by Yomru, Hinechag Hashem B'Shiloh, it's trying to tell you how to get to Shiloh. Shiloh, for hundreds of years, the Jews came there to show, for a long, long time, they had something that approximated a Beit HaMikdash. It was a Mishkan in Shiloh for a couple of centuries. A long time. And a Mishkan in Shiloh. So we're here at the Shoftim. So they're telling you how to get to Shiloh. Asher Mitzvonu with Beit El, Shiloh is north of the Beit El.
Apparently, here's Shiloh, and here's Beit El. Shiloh is the north of Beit El.
Mizracha Hashemesh, it's to the east, and the sun rises, it's to the east. La Mesila Ha'olam in Beit El Shema Uminegev La'Ozona. It's to the east of the highway. There's a highway that goes from Beit El to Shem. And it goes from Negev to Minegev Lavona, that major highway, or those major highways, so they're to the west of Shiloh. Shiloh is to the east of this highway. Okay? So how do you identify where Shiloh is? It's north of Beit El and to the east of these highways. You see, we have a siman using these highways. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, that's the end of the discussion. So right away, Tosfos says, excuse me. Papa, what means Mizrach Hashem? Mizrach Hashem is La Mesila. Means the Mizrach Hashem Mesila. Means to the east of the path. Like we drew to the east of the path. Okay. So Tosfos gets a little bit upset with Rashi here. Rashi says that the Gemara's problem with Abaye has been what? Has been, why would you give, what was Abaye's problem? What was the problem with Abaye? What did Rashi say? Would you give such a siman? What's wrong with the siman? The Rashi said, yeah, it's a tanachi such a siman. What was the problem? The Rashi said, what was the problem?
It needs to be some dusty.
Huh?
What?
Not significant, therefore.
Why didn't it be dusty so much?
Right, why didn't it be dusty so much to explain it? So, well, what's the problem? The obvious problem, the Rashi says.
He's giving you boundaries.
What?
He's giving you boundaries.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. We need to give boundaries. And more,
that's not
a
terrace.
We are
talking about the
Shiloh
in relation to
Shiloh. Yeah, this is not the same as here. We're not describing this strip. We're not describing the highway. We're using the highway as a synonym for something else. That's not the same as all. Well, Shiloh. What are we describing in public? Shiloh. Shiloh is very. Of course, you have to explain where Shiloh is. Shiloh is Mishkan. That's an important place to identify. But that's not a kasha. Your kasha here is, why bother spending so much time identifying the boundaries of some teeny tiny piece of land? Is this little piece of land so significant that we should give a siman about it? You give a siman about it. Cautious of them. What don't you understand? Well, you think you understand. You need to know that's so. What's so hard to understand? How are we answering? The Rav Papa said, the Mizrach Hashem Mesila, east of the highway. Hasam. Yeah, it's not a lie at all. Hasan got crusty man on the Shiloh. Anahi. There, the Torah's point, the point of the Pasuk Sefer Shoftim is to describe the location of Shiloh. Where is Shiloh? Oh, Yedei Mesila, using the highway. So how would that say? So Rashbam says, here, Mepharsha Reina Shmuel, is usually Rashi's grandson, the Rashbam. There were other Shmuel, the other Bais Tosfos also. But usually, if it's Rabbeinu Shmuel Ne'evra, or other Bais Tosfos will say who it is. Stam Rabbeinu Shmuel typically is Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Meir. Rashbam, Reishin Ben Beis, is Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Meir. So Rashbam says, nah, lav hashinuyi parda. He says, I'm going to give you a different answer. He says, I'm going to say, Rashi, why did Rashi say what he said? Why did Rashi say that if a child was, why would you want to give a siddur about a little piece of land? Because Rashi saw that the Gemara was responding to Abaye. Abaye gave a talent to the Braitha. Abaye gave an interpretation of Kimpton. The Braitha talked about a little piece of land. Oh, that's Shver, because why give a siddur about a little piece of land? Because that doesn't work. He said, no. So the Kasha has nothing to do with Abaye. Kasha is a basic Braitha. Why are you giving a... The Midrash Hadera of the Lamar of Hadera. Would you use the derech as a simon, not a simon for the little piece of land, but a simon using, as the pasuk ultimately does with Shiloh? Would you use the derech as a simon? Not such a good marker. A braita. The cause is not a shinui, not a terrorist that Abaye gave. A braita. Because I'm a Midrash Hadera, or Lamar of Hadera. It tells me what? That to the east of the road, to the west of the road, the Chidava Murkhro derech, Shaykh Lameva Bo, Limizracha Omarago. There's a path. What's the east of the path, the west of the path. The path itself is not so significant. You're identifying a whole big swath of land as the east of this little thing. And when you say that, if I have termites under my house, do you say, oh, his house, yeah, his house is the thing that's on top of the termite house. The termites made a home underneath my house, and the termites dug into my, the termites dug into my basement. Now there's a couple of feet where the termites are living. And my big house is on top of the termite house. You say, oh yeah, my house is the thing on top of the termites. No! The termites are tiny. That's true. Right, the house is crumbling, and that would be a good way to define it. But I wouldn't say, but otherwise it's ridiculous. Everything is backwards. You say, that's what the Rashbam says. The Gemara was bothered by the language of the Braitha. It seemed odd. This whole big swath in our skull is that the place of peace in this world path. It's funny. You say that New York is that the city that's east of camp. New York is a city that's east of the George Washington Bridge. I say east of the little path, west of the little path. You should have said Nino, Lenidra. Should have said to the east. The east of the path means sounds like the path is more significant than that whole chunk of that straw, the whole chunk of this one. Vice Nidra Papa, Nidra Pasha Mithila, the Mountain Nidra Hamid. The answer is no, you see, it's a Tanakh. It'll say the Shiva was to the east of this little walkway. That's not a strange thing. It doesn't bother us to say it's not inappropriate or out of context to say that the big important thing is to the east of the world. So that's the first piece of the Gemara. So that's the shock of the Targa. The Gemara had a geographical problem, and we solved the geographical problem. Okay, Rashi says to deal with exactly, Rashi says the two different approaches, this is a recap, two different approaches to exactly what was the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara gave a tariff. The first kasha was the sphere between the Mishnah and the Vice. The Gemara gave a tariff to that, which to Anasta. And they go, there's a problem about would we give such a simon? My thought is Rashi and Tosu, how to explain the kasha. Either way has a weak point. Rashi's weak point is, has the subsequent answer help? And Tosu's weak point is that the kasha is going back on the right, so it's not really, it's a little bit, okay, so both of them are a little bit, but Maskana, we know exactly what the answer is. The answer, Maskana, everything is clear. Basically, the Akhla is one of the end, so you have a little bit of an Akhla like that, and that's that. Okay. Now, you do start to do something interesting, though. There's something else, which is the hints that are getting changing, which we're not going to really investigate now. We're not going to follow it now, or we'll get to Doc Fest, where we'll look at it a little more. There's something in a way that should be, there's something interesting about the Gemara. Now, not going to work too much, but at least we should realize the Gemara really is talking out by the end of the Gemara, with the Chinyal Tan Siman Ha'afin. Okay, yes, no, fine.
Let's go back to the basic problem. The major problem of the Gemara was the dispute in the Mishnah and the Braisa. Where is Akam? Where is Akam? Where is Akam? Where is Akam? So there's something interesting that the Gemara did, which is not necessarily a problem, but there's something interesting that the Gemara mixed right away, very smoothly. Very, very smoothly. What did the Gemara mix right away very smoothly, comparing the Mishnah and the Braisa? Yeah, exactly. The Bryce is not talking about kids. The Bryce is talking about classic definitions of itself. You know, excuse me, what the Bryce say? Let's take a look at the Bryce again. I may have me after what's this. Gatal walking back with his head northward, Neil Mizra Hadarach to his right, to the east of the road, to Mishon Eretz Ha'amun. That's the Tame because of Eretz Ha'amun. What's that about? It's a Zindra Abana, that all of Kutzlarit. So one ratification, the fact that so the east of this path is Chutzlaret is that it has this Tumah Midrabanan. You know the famous story of Hilmi Amalkas? That's the story of Hilmi Amalkas? Her son was the king, King Mumbaz. And he went to war. And she was very scared of the Jewish mother. She was worried about her son. So she makes a neder that if her son returns, basically, she's giving his ear for 7 years. Baruch Hashem, her seals were entered. Her son comes back successful. He conquered whatever province it was, King Mumbaz. And so she keeps him his ears for 7 years. At the end of the seventh year, she accidentally becomes Tmei Lameh. So then we know that none of there are three things you cannot do. You cannot drink wine or eat grape products. You cannot take your haircut. And you can't become Tamil Lameh. And all three things are after. If you become Tamil Lameh, it's not that you didn't do wrong, you did not Vedra, but it undoes all the daisies we can so far. It's a start over again. The clock starts from the beginning. She became Tamil Lameh at the end of the 7 years. Even if it's totally by accident, it doesn't matter. They just prepare Shabbat to the Chumash. The fact that system. You're in a room, so a guy had a heart attack and dropped dead. You didn't do anything wrong. Doesn't matter. You got to start again. You don't really show me your proof. Took an impartial snuff, so you start all over again. So that's what happened to her. She became snail on May to end the 7 years. She starts all over again. Another 7 years. After 14 years, that's a long time. Right? Almost no one in this room is much more, so much more than 14 years old. Right? After 14 years in Nazir, right, since you were three, after 40 years, neither she comes here to throw up the green karbana, and the Qur'an tells her, we're sorry, but none of that counted, because you were Eretz Ha'amun. So, you got to start all over again. So she stays here at Israel, away from her family, away from her country, away from her queendom and her palace, for 7 years, and then finally, at the end of 21 years, she managed to successfully bring her karbana to enter New Year's, and then she's able to go home. So that's the famous story of Tumat Eretz Ha'amun. The whole discussion that the Rosh had there, which is not now, in terms of how that works, but that is, that we mentioned a little bit earlier in the year, that is not for now. So that's Eretz Ha'amun, and then the Torah B'na Ma'isim Nashriyah. That if it's Chutzlars, there's no Ma'isim, there's no Shmita. If it is Eretz Yisrael, there is Ma'isim, there's no Shmita. So that's classic Eretz Yisrael. So Daniel's point is, the Gemara seems to automatically be assuming that was very smoothly, perhaps, that's basically the same as Eretz Yisrael for purposes of kids, which is far from obvious, because he said, well, the reason for Eretz Yisrael for getting, the reason for Takana Baget is either because outside Eretz Yisrael people don't know Allah, they don't know about Lashma, or they don't care about Lashma, or outside Eretz Yisrael, there's not going to be so much travel, so we'll be able to verify that these signatures are real. Right? We're not going to have agents in the kind of Shaz, I need to verify right now. And who did that correspond to Eretz Yisrael for Tumas Ha'Maaser? The Gemara here seems to be assuming that it is the same. It seems something we're going to come back to. Okay.
But for now, let's plunge in. That was all warmer. Now they're going to again make the assumption that the Eretz Yisrael for getting the same as Eretz Yisrael for, sounds like you can make that assumption, Eretz Yisrael for getting the same as Eretz Yisrael for Shulman Tarizim, and go a step further. Tanakhaza. One branch that says that maybe get the Sina can make the Eretz Yisrael. A spell brings the get in a boat, meaning it brings the get from a boat. Rashi says, maybe get the Sina, Shenichta the Sina. It was written on a boat. They Kasai, where is this boat dock? Kasai Gadaisa is in the Harvest Eretz Yisrael Kama. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that this is the end of one of the rivers, in the Yarden apparently. Or in some little tributary of the Yarden, it's 6 minutes Eretz Yisrael. So I'm in the water of Eretz Yisrael, in some river. I'm in water that belongs to Eretz Yisrael. I'm in the bay, I'm in the harbor. So I'm in a boat, the boat is located geographically in Eretz Yisrael, and I write the guest in the boat, and I'm going to bring it to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to get up the boat and bring it, deliver it. The husband doesn't want to see his wife. Sometimes gittin are more amicable, sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's so, I'll read an article recently, true with someone written, a case where their husband and wife are in the same town, they're a couple blocks away from each other, but things are so bitter, they had to appoint the shliach to bring the guest. They actually did not want to see each other. After they got there, they were really young. That's a bad way to put it. They were a couple of aspects from each other. But the husband came into the basin, and they had him do the tivui to write the guest, and he appointed the shliach. He left. And a couple of days later, the wife walked in, and the shliach didn't move. He just stayed there. So you imagine that. The boat is docked in the harbor. The husband will want to be in the same city as the wife. The husband will be on the boat, and he'll ride on the boat with him, and then the shliach will walk up the boat, and walk 2 blocks, and give it to the wife. So yeah, or go further. But on the boat, is the boat considered to be Eretz Yisrael for getting, or is it not? We have what seems to be a steal in writing. Tanakh Adah, one writer says, I made the guess that the Sina can maybe there. So, the time you eat up, can maybe look up for it. One writer says it's only bringing parents to show. One writer says it's only bringing from Chutzpah. Obviously, we're not talking about a boat which is out in the Atlantic. We're not talking about a boat which is docked in Boston Harbor. That's of course not Chutzpah. It's not a fish. So obviously, then when the writer tells me that Canadian is Chutzpah, it means it really ought to, one could have imagined it was there to show. Clearly, sure it's not. Apparently, it means it's in the water there to show. Gemara says, how are you going to deal with this here? Is the water Eretz Yisrael, does that count as Eretz Yisrael? Does it not count as Eretz Yisrael? In the boat, Eretz Yisrael water. Is Eretz Yisrael enough? The Syrian writer. And the Gemara is not happy to say that this is a new machlokas we've never heard of before. Either that somehow they agree, talking about two different cases, or else that should be that this is a pre-existing machlokas. We're uncomfortable saying these two anonymous writers are telling us a new machlokas we've never heard of before. Yeah. Excellent. There is a source. That's what Paulus has developed over the course of the city. I would definitely work on the assumption, but we definitely work on the assumption that there exists such a thing as water within, offshore water.
Yeah.
Offshore water. I mean, beyond the boundaries of the country. Right. That's what's going to have Kalabam Ketzalah. Right. That's what's going to have Kalabam Ketzalah. But again, you want two choices. Either to say there's two different cases, or to say, this is a machlokas, the Torah sent case to machlokas, this is a machlokas of murder for it. So the second tenet of the Gemara is giving a test of law, that's going to be today in two different cases. That's going to be interesting. We're going to have to develop how to make these different cases. The first tenet is to say, it's the machlokas, but the machlokas we heard of it. I'm going to be Yirmiya, so Yirmiya is the first answer. I'm going to be Yirmiya. Lo Kasha, Hazi Huda Rabbanan. Yeah, it's a machlokas, but this is an old machlokas, the Mishnah. The Mishnah of Tefakal. What is the Mishnah? It's not only the Mishnah. We have a Mishnah that says like this. Also, Chutzla is above the sea and Eretz La'aretz. I'm going by boat from India to Eretz Yisrael. And I grow along some soil. A flower pot. On the boat. I have a bag of soil on the boat that I'm bringing from a shipping from the India to Eretz Yisrael. And now we already got into the waters of Eretz Yisrael. Another now is docked in the harbor. Didn't work.
have things growing out of that soil. The soil is on the boat, and the boat is in the earth's strong water. So what's the standard for that soil? The Talmud says, Chai Vaisa Rishir. Right? Rashi says, Chai Vaisa Rishir. Alpha Chutzlar is above the Sino Lares. Rizaru Bishvina. They plant it on the boat. They plant something in that soil. It's Dhamma. Something is growing. A plant, a tree, whatever it is. Now, Rashi starts telling you, Rashi's bothered by a problem. Rashi's solve is, what's Rashi's solve right now? Happen to be that this is considered to be connected to the ground below. We have a rule, we know you saw the shrine. Right? But that sometimes you can have a container with the earth and it's connected to what's below. That's always just an object structure. Right? And I have a flower pot with a hole in it. I'm in my backyard in Prague, and trees, fruits that produce us earth itself, and I have here a container with more soil and something growing up, tomatoes. I'm growing tomatoes. So is this soil considered to be connected or not? So the Mishnah says, well, it depends. There's a hole, if it's us, it's not them, then it's all connected. But if it's not them, it's closed on us, it's not connected.
If you bring a bag of soil from America, there is a draw, for some reason. violation of the customary garden.
And you dump it on the ground there at the draw. So that now it has a status of a fire
itself. But it can't be a goat.
Yeah. The question is, once you plug in, the question is, you plugged in. The last is, look, to connect, to plug in the soil and to the ground, you have to have a nekiv, or if the artist is cheret, that's all the same. The whole artist is upper. The whole thing is beautiful, you don't need all. It's all the same thing.
Is it still considered a goshafa, though? It was made into a kli, though, so it's already tar.
Okay. When you put it in
the
water, right.
Why not try to reach the clean off? Then he changes the carcass. Just bring it to the thing.
Because of the next line, the Mishnah. Come. So get our votes back. We have a Mishnah. Let's get back in. We have a Mishnah, in Chala. The Mishnah says that what? I have something growing in the boat, and a boat in the water. And a boat in the water, so I have something growing in the boat, and Rashi says, well, forget about it. You don't have a hole? Don't worry about the hole, you don't need the hole. Okay, it's an earthenware boat, you don't need a hole. Okay, a couple of assumptions there, which we'll get back to. But okay, so far so good. So a couple of assumptions we're going to have to get back to. Very good, very good. Very good. The Amr of Yehuda, Amosai. Yehuda said, well, it's not always true that the soil of the boat is connected down below. Amosai, Bizman Shah Sina Gosheshet. Only if the Sina is Gosheshet, Rashi says it's rubbing along the earth. It's a shallow water, it's near the harbor, and the bottom of the boat is rubbing along Doctor, or anything else? Right, right. Ain't how much I'm looking for Zash, but if it's not Goshashes, and it's not Goshashes, Chaser. So what's the makom for Rabbi Yehuda and Kavakama? Everyone agrees that you have a beach boat that is connected. Good. Okay. So either it has a hole or it doesn't need a hole, so it's Chaser. So we'll see what Tosfos is saying. Fine. Okay, that's a classic Asa's Nachos. That's my Asa's on top of the ground, connected. Beautiful, Chayim, everyone agrees to that. What's the Machlokes Tanna Kamma Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda said that only if it's touching, and Tanna Kamma said even if it's not touching. Okay. So Tanna Kamma said that Asa's Nachos doesn't have touch. That's what I like to say, right? Even if it's not touching. This is the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Tanna Kamma, if you have a boat, which is not beach, which is not on top of the sandbar. You have a boat which has a couple of feet, hundreds of feet of water underneath it. Does that have a status there to sell? Or not? That's what I'm supposed to do. The Yehuda says, according to the Yehuda, are you chai or partner or two with the mic? The Yehuda says, according to the Yehuda? Let's try again. Ain't no Gosheshet. It's not a concept. What does the Yehuda say about the stuff? Chaser. What's not a concept? Chaser. So now, let's take it back to the name that you get to Sina. So who says which? What would Tana Kama say about, I have a boat in a Gosheshet. It's flowing along. And the water's there at the top. It's flowing along. Not a concept. What would Tana Kama say about that get? I'm going to bring that get from the boat to the area of the Charles Papa, to the Yabasha. Does the Rasha say I don't have them? I do not. According to Hakama, you don't. Right? Because it says so. According to Yehuda, you do. Good. So that's Rabbi Yehuda is very happy now. Rabbi Yehuda said, look, that's my answer to this problem. We had a problem with Steer and Bryce's whether maybe get to Sina is the yes to say by next or not. It's like yes to solve it. So the answer is, that's the Machlokes that they say, oh, Machlokes that Tanam, say Machlokes to the Mishnah, what's the stance of things growing on the boat? Okay, they say, oh, Machlokes, is it Sina Karasitral, or is it Sina Lakkaritral? Is it Sina Kimachubar? Is it Lakkaritral? Okay, so that's nothing new, that's the Machlokes here too. And once again, the Gemara is making the assumption that the rule for how you define Karasitral for Trumas and Aikrit is the same as how you find it itself for kids. Which again, this would be because the reason why it's like, I don't forget, has little to do with whether it's Eretz Yisrael. It has to do with how learned our people, it has to do with traffic or not. It has nothing to do with, technically speaking, is this Eretz Yisrael? Okay. That's the interesting recipe about Isaac. Okay, question.
That would be different because in the cases where there's eggs in between Eretz Yisrael for the cat and Eretz Yisrael for Trumas Masros, there is a difference between where there's one hook, where one hook is in the skin. With the water thing, there's no, okay, the Trumas Masros begin at 5 feet into the Mediterranean and 10 feet into the Mediterranean, which we're getting.
Right.
With Gideon, you have this place begins where people don't know that.
Right.
This place begins, and but with Trumas Masros, that place still keeps on going. Where the rivers, there's no, this is where the where people know about Lashon begins. So it's not in that territory.
It could have been, though. You could imagine saying that, look, technically speaking, this is part of the land that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us. This is part of the land that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Kedusha to, and that, the things that grow there have Kedusha and they're Chayim and Shumas and Lechem. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the people there are educated and they know the halacha. Or and vice versa. It could be the people are educated, but it doesn't have Kedusha. And so right now the Gemara is not making that distinction. Which is, and we'll just keep our eyes on it. It's an interesting assumption. Okay. Yeah, okay. So far all we did is just answer a question. We have fear and vices. The first of two answers is always the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Okay. Now we're going to take a really tangent. We'll get back on Chesed Tavod Allah for enough ways to give another answer to the vices to take us in a direction. But once we mentioned this Mishnah, the Chala is going to have Babli. You know Chala Babli on Seder Zon, Sefer Brachot. Once we mentioned this Mishnah, the Chala wants to make a comment about it. That's an interesting Mishnah. Because, hey, please think about that for a moment. That's what we're going to be thinking about for a little while, beyond for the next couple of minutes, this year, and then tomorrow as well. So, you know, please think about this Mishnah. This is a very interesting Mishnah. This is a Machloket. I have a boat, She'ene Goshashas. I have a boat flying along in the waters of Eretz Yisrael. So, a Machloket, does that have the status of Eretz Yisrael or not? The earth in it, does that have the status of Eretz Yisrael or not? The Gemara says, okay, well, why is that? What's the focus all about? What's the focus all about? So, Reb Zera and Rav. And so how many people saw the part of the Gemara? How many people saw Reb Zera? How many people did not see Reb Zera? Okay. And a lot of people are not sure what they saw. How many people are not sure if they saw Reb Zera? How many people don't like to raise their hands? There you go. Okay, how many people, how many people saw the Tosis? You got it lucky. You got it lucky. Okay, the mission of tomorrow, I'm going to say. We got ourselves warmed up. The mission of tomorrow, we're going to look into the Gemara's diversion. Into this Sina Bashasha, it takes us to very fascinating places. And it's going to break the way we think about what it means to be Talakam. A beautiful insight from Moshe Talmudic. It's going to open the way we look at what we think about that. The beautiful Mahmoud is not going to open up. Very rich, Tosu. Another Tosu. And hopefully, everything will come together in a very beautiful way.